or your appetite, and they'll be a lot better for you. So I'm glad she
and be a lot better and much healthier, not only to lose weight but to be overall health.
Yep. Yep.
She's getting together with Gail Schirechter, who is a Flemington yoga instructor there on Route 12, just outside the Gail does all kinds of yoga and meditation techniques. She's been in the field for 30 years or so, and she studied in India and Australia as well as the United States, and does a lot of yoga sessions, both the individual and group sessions, which yoga is increasingly recognized as an important exercise and lifestyle enhancer. All kinds of things can be treated with yoga, including, she says, she gets into treating anxieties and stress or depression, insomnia, even PTSD, digestive problems, neck and pain, neck and back issues with pain, and so forth. So it's quite an undertaking to talk with her and have her explain, or go to her website. It's expensive. The different types of yoga, and she has all kinds of certified instructors who work with her and provide yoga and meditation instruction. So she's getting together with Melissa Pickell to do a mindful eating session, which is scheduled for October. It's some time away, but they hold these sessions from time to time, and the next one comes up in October. But it brings nutrition together with yoga and meditation techniques.
Right.
So weight loss is not the main aim of the workshop, but weight loss can certainly be a result.
Yep. And the work and the exercise plus the nutrition, which is again a good combination. Interesting thing, and you and I have brought this up numerous times when you do these types of as a business, you having a pairing together of two different business people combine the efforts to create a better presentation. So you're getting kind of a cross-selling going on.
Yes. You get exposed to more than just one field,
right?
Which is in healthy living. That's important, I think.
Sure.
But they're holding this event at Nutrimost, which is on Route 31 there in Flemington. Nutrimost is a customized, personalized kind of fat burning, fat storage, and fat metabolism place, which is a supervised weight loss program. So they can be involved as well. You can find out more about them at Nutrimost, nutrimost.com, or njthin.com, I believe is their site. They're also on Facebook, but this brings together three. When you watch TV, there's usually some talking head just hitting you with all kinds of things that are going on, but you don't see many street scenes. But with these conventions going on, they're showing a lot of street scenes, and I was struck with how many people are overweight.
Yeah,
it is just amazing. You read about it and you hear about it, but to see it in a street scene is just amazing. It's arresting. It's a problem that we really need to tackle.
Yeah.
Individually, everybody.
Yeah, and we can go into the economics of it, but it affects our health care, and it affects therefore our government and our insurance policies. So
it affects the everyday quality of living, of life.
Yep.
I also talked with Randall Andriola. He's the training manager at Retro Fitness, which is an operation that's a national organization, and he runs the group there near ShopRite on Route 20231.
Okay.
Which is open 7 days. People join and they can come and take part in all kinds of programs. But the thing that he emphasized was when you first go there, they get to know the person. And nutritional counseling is part of the program.
Right.
New people are required to keep an eating diary for 3 days before they begin any training.
Yep. There you go
program. So they want to know what you're eating.
Yep.
And then they can address training as well as nutritional information to that.
Sure. There's the eating again. So
there's the eating. It all
exercise and nutrition have to go together, or else you're just wasting your time.
Yeah. They even have a program for mature beginners, people in their 70s and beyond. So I was I was telling him this sounds like the program I should take part in.
You're running on down there, are you? Okay.
Yeah, I can do more than type on a keyboard then. Yeah.
No. Well, your fingers are very thin, I'm sure. Let me ask you a question. Retro fitness always confuses me. Is it because I assume it? I make an assumption that it has to do with recycled exercise equipment, but that's not what it is, right?
No.
Yeah,
they have classes to go. They even have Zumba classes.
Okay,
and even kickboxing classes. They have a lot of stuff there, but the main thrust is people who get into an exercise, light or heavy, an exercise program, depending on what they want to do and depending on the healthiness of their existing body. Where do we go from here kind of thing.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. So we got retro fitness. What else? Who else we have?
Well, those were the four that I talked
about. Okay. Well.
Yeah, there's a limit in and how much I can, I'll be filling up the whole paper.
Well, the key there is, again, and you brought it up in two different instances, that you have to work on two different sides of the equation. You have to work on your intake, and you have to work on how you burn it. And if you don't do
one of the common problems is, and I do it myself. Everybody does it. I had a salad for lunch, so now I can have a piece of cheesecake. Well, it doesn't work that way. You need to change your appetite, your eating habits.
Yep.
To the point that I noticed, for example, in my own situation, if I cut out all sugar, and that's hard to do because it's in everything.
Right.
But if you just concentrate on meat and vegetables for a week, you then taste a piece of a spoon of sugar or whatever, and it just doesn't taste right.
Right.
You get out of the habit relatively quickly, particularly with sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And sugars are one of our main problems in our diet these days. It's in everything. Especially the processed food.
Yeah, and there's even science that's saying that having those foods makes you crave them more. So the more
makes you crave them more, yeah.
So the more you can disassociate yourself from it.
You can't just eat one chocolate chip cookie.
Well, I mean, I understand that, but I'm also saying that, you know, when you were saying that you could push away the sugar for a week, that now you don't necessarily crave that food again as much.
Anybody can try that. It was amazing. I've done it myself many times, and then I revert right back to the same old habit, unfortunately. But if you do that, you find that you don't want that anymore. Certainly not as much.
Yeah, I like to use breaks in my schedule, especially vacations, to disrupt my food intake. After I come back from vacation, because I'm coming back from a disruption in my normal
salt and toast. I mean, you don't squeeze an entire. Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during a radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Stephen Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Good morning, this is Tony Clark, and this is Some Things About Money. It's 11:11 a.m. on Tuesday, July 26th, and out here in Flemington, New Jersey, it is 86 degrees Fahrenheit. We have sunny day today with a high near 94, west wind 7 to 11 miles per hour, mostly clear tonight with a low around 66, and north winds around 6 miles per hour. Tomorrow, Wednesday, will be sunny with a high near 92, light and variable wind. And Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 67. Thursday, there'll be a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly sunny, though, with a high near 93. And calm wind becoming southwest around 5 miles per hour into the afternoon. And then looks like over the weekend, Friday and Saturday, some more chances of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, though, with a high near 86. We'll have one more commercial break, and then we'll come back with Joe Patton for Some Things About Money.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And good morning. Thank you for listening. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, Patton Heidi & Associates. And this is Some Things About Money here with Tony Clark today. Good morning, Tony. How you doing?
Good morning, Joe.
What an evening. I can't even believe I have this much energy. It must have been Elizabeth Warren, or was it Bernie Sanders, or, you know, was it, I can't even remember the rest of them. Must not have been all that great. But anyway, we got some stuff to talk about today. We'll kind of touch on the convention a little bit. We'll talk about, you know, looking ahead to GDP numbers, maybe a little bit on labor markets, sales, earnings, Case-Shiller, the housing market in general. But first, let's take a look at the markets. Currently, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is in the red, down 97.83 points, or just over 0.5%. The S&P 500 is down 7.83, 3.36%. The NASDAQ is down almost 12.5% at about 0.25% over in Europe. Taking a look at the DAX, up, about 0.33%. The FTSE's up 0.1%. CAC 40 is just on the green side of the screen, and oil is currently at $42.66, down 47 cents a barrel. Gold prices are at $13.2050, that's up $1 an ounce, and the 10-year Treasury yield currently sitting at 1.58%. So, Tony, got to be all wound up for the convention. I mean, yeah, it was just an incredible evening. I was beside myself, and maybe it was just the angle of the cameras, but did you happen to notice any American flags in view? I didn't. I was trying to, you know, it has to be the Republicans' fault, because during the Republican convention, they were all over the place. I don't know. And that may have been before they decided to start the broadcast. Maybe they broke away for the pictures of the people who are Bernie supporters chanting against what went on with the emails. rather interesting, but of course none of that was discussed on the floor. People were saying that Bernie was a sellout in his speech. I don't think so. I think he got a lot of the platform that he wanted and probably some guarantees that his movement will continue as he endeavors to take over the Democratic Party and convert it to socialism. But I'll tell you, I like the idea. Over 80% of the American people will be eligible for free state college tuition, single-payer insurance. We're going to be getting rid of those arduous student loans. More and more people are going to get higher minimum wage, $15 an hour. All of this wonderful stuff that who pays for? Let me think. We know there aren't enough billionaires in the United States, even if you took all of their money. And Bernie himself did say during the campaign that we're going to have to raise taxes on the middle class. So I guess if they adopted the platform, then they're kind of approving tax increases on the middle class. Yet other speakers during the convention were talking about how the middle class needed help. Well, I don't think that that's what they meant by giving the middle class help, but hey, you never know. But anyway, there's a lot of good stuff going on. The market's a little bit high right now. I think maybe they could be taking a break. I mentioned Kay Schiller on housing. Seems to be a little bit of the bright spot out there, except gains did ease just a little bit. The pace of U.S. home price gains cooled off in May, coming in below consensus estimates as regional patterns were seen shifting, and that was according to the monthly report. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller 20-City Composite Index rose 5.2% year-over-year versus expectations for a reading of 5.7%. That marked a sequential slowdown from April's 5.4% increase. Still, home price appreciation continues throughout much of the United States, according to David M. Blitzer, Managing Director and Chairman of the Index Committee at S&P Dow Jones Indices. Overall, housing is doing quite well. In addition to strong prices, sales of existing homes reached the highest monthly level since 2007 as construction of new homes showed continuing gains. Portland, Oregon, well, they led the gainers with price appreciation of 12.5% in May. Seattle followed with a 10.7% increase, and Denver came in third with a 9.5% gain. Outside of the top three, let's see, Blitzer identified a change of fortunes for some metro areas. Now, Miami and Tampa have recovered in the past few months, while Las Vegas and Phoenix remain weak. When home prices begin to recover, New York and Washington saw steady price growth. Now, both are among the weakest areas in the country. Not good. The S&P Case-Shiller U.S. National Home Price Index, which measures all nine U.S. Census divisions, was up 5% in April from the previous year. Now, new home sales, well, let's just say new U.S. single-family home sales rose more than expected in June, reaching their highest level in nearly 8.5 years, the latest sign that the housing market was continuing to gather momentum. The Commerce Department said today new home sales increased 3.5% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 592,000 units last month, the highest level since February of 2008. May's sales pace was revised up to 572 units from the previously reported 551,000 units. Economists polled by Reuters had forecast new home sales, which account for about 9.6% of the housing market, rising to a rate of 560,000 units last month. Sales were up 25.4% from a year ago. Last month's increase left new home sales in the second quarter well above the average for the first 3 months of the year. The housing market is gaining speed, with a report last week showing home resales vaulting to a near 9.5-year high since June. At the same time, single-family housing starts increased solidly in June. The housing market, which is being supported by tightening labor market conditions and mortgage rates near record lows, is helping to power the economy. New home sales are likely benefiting from, well, let's say a persistent shortage of previously owned houses available for sale. New single-family home sales jumped 10.4% in the Midwest and soared 10.9% in the West, which has seen a sharp increase in home prices amid tight inventories. But sales fell 5.6% in the Northeast and slipped 0.3% in the populous South. last month? Well, the inventory of new homes on the market increased 1.2% to 244,000 units. At June's sales pace, it would take about 4.9 months to clear the supply of houses on the market, and that's down from 5.1 months in May. Price-wise, the median price of a new home, it rose 6.1% from a year ago to $306,700. So, good housing news, Tony. We like that. That was pretty cool. Now, you know, talking a little bit more about drivers, let's take a look at things like the GDP. Now, in the fourth quarter of last year, real GDP growth grew at a weak 1.4%. In the first quarter of this year, the pace of expansion was an even weaker 1.1%. In both quarters, a decline in business investment spending was a primary contributor to the overall weakness. We expect business investment spending to have been weak again in just the finished first, actually the second quarter, but business spending could become a positive contributor to real GDP in the second half with higher oil prices and a stable dollar as primary considerations. Sharp cuts to energy sector investments have been a primary factor behind lower business spending in recent quarters. The rapid rise in the value of the U.S. dollar since mid-2014 has also been a strong deterrent for business to expand their capacity. The partial rebound in crude oil prices that occurred over the last few months, combined with a slightly weaker U.S. dollar, should ease these pressures somewhat in the second half of the year, allowing business investment spending to stabilize and grow modestly, thus allowing it to become a positive contributor to overall GDP calculation. I know Ameriprise just came out recently with their second half of the year forecast, and not really looking for much of a move in the equity markets anyway from this point forward. So I know we had a down day yesterday. It looks like we're having a down day today. The big bull on Wall Street, Tommy Lee, was just saying something on CNBC that August scares him, and he gave a litany of reasons why, but people have been talking about the fact that you know, we have to see continued strength in corporate earnings in order to justify a continued move upward in this very, very old bull market. In fact, I believe this is probably the second longest bull market on record. So, you know, it's not surprising that more and more people are beginning to show a bit of concern about where they are forecasting this market to go going forward. And when you take a look at reductions in GDP estimates, both here and growth projection reductions in the overall world economy, it's no small wonder that you know, more and more people are saying that we may be getting ready to run out of gas, or at least go into a consolidation period before we have that other leg up. So, a lot to talk about. Mention corporate sales. Corporate sales are signaling better days ahead, so, you know, there is some positive news out there. Through last Friday, only about 25% of the S&P 500 companies had reported their second quarter results. It's really difficult to discern accurate trends from such a small sample, but it looks as though earnings are coming in modestly better than expected. For stock prices to move higher from here, however, companies will likely have to post much stronger earnings comparisons in the quarters ahead, which is what we talked about a little bit earlier. Of course, earnings are unlikely to improve materially without a solid recovery in sales. On this front, we believe sales trends have been somewhat encouraging. Through Friday, reporting companies have shown sales per share to be about 2.6% higher year over year and 3.4% higher if the energy sector is excluded. The headline performance will likely deteriorate, however, as more energy companies report. Through Friday, just five of the sector's 38 companies had released results. For the second quarter overall, S&P 500 companies are expected to show SPS down about a tenth of a percent, according to Bloomberg. By comparison, SPS were down 1.4% in quarter number one, but up 1.4% in the energy sector. When the energy sector was excluded, currently the S&P 500 sales per share for quarter number three were forecast to be 2.2% higher via Bloomberg. In quarter four, 2016, SPS are forecast to be 5% higher year over year, and comparisons are currently projected to be 9% higher in quarter one, 2017. So all that does bode well for the possible continuation of the bull market, but you know, other things can happen. You take a look at what's going on with China forecast being cut, Brexit over in the European Union. Who knows what the news is going to be coming out of Brazil around the Olympics. And, of course, there's the ever-present terrorist threat that always creates a new jerk reaction in the energy sector as well as all aspects of the market. Now, energy sector sales per share are forecast to be 26% lower in the second quarter, improving to 3.5% in quarter number four and jumping to, 4.6% in quarter one, 2017. A stable dollar, well, that's going to go a long way in reducing pressure on multinational heavy sectors such as the technology sector. So a lot of headwinds out there, but with earnings starting to pick up a little bit, that may bode well for the equity markets. One more thing I want to do before we head to the break. The Labor Department's headline unemployment U3 rate came in at 4.9% in June. Technical aspects to the measure brought it up from May's post-season recession low of 4.7. Historically, the unemployment rate below 5% would suggest strong labor market conditions. Although we believe the labor market is solid and improving, the unemployment rate is being artificially constrained by technical aspects of how it is calculated. Data used to calculate the rate is derived from the Labor Department's monthly survey of approximately 60,000 U.S. households, which is itself completely separate from the establishment survey that gives us the number of jobs created or lost. Contrary to many people's understanding, the unemployment rate has nothing to do with claims for unemployment insurance. Many, however, have heard about the influence of a falling labor force participation rate on the unemployment rate. Simply put, if there are fewer people thought to be participating in the labor market by looking for work, then the number of people on the sidelines, i.e. unemployed, appears smaller. As we have noted in other commentaries, rising retirements is a primary factor in driving this down at this stage. There are a number of alternative measures that can be used to look at added labor market slack, however. We pointed out that the number of people working part-time but would like to have a full-time position really weigh heavily on that number. Labor counts these people as working part-time for economic reasons. Currently, this number of part-time is 5.84 million. Of course, there are always some people in this position, even during periods of strong economic activity. We believe there are approximately 1.5 to 2 million more people in this position than there otherwise should be given the current unemployment rate. That is somewhat of an indictment against the strength of our economy. The implication, in our view, is that we still need to see further job growth, preferably above 150,000 net new positions per month, for the labor market to continue its recovery from the Great Recession. So what isn't going to help is what was going on in the Democratic Convention last night when they were screaming for a $15 an hour living wage versus the current starvation wage of just over $7 per hour. Now, for young people, that is not good news because a lot of the businesses that would give them the first opportunity to build experience working, being in the labor force, actually figuring out what a job is, how to interact with coworkers, the kinds of things that many of Americans grew up doing as their first job, those jobs are not going to be available, and many of them will be taken over by technology, especially when you're looking at fast food. And quite frankly, the idea of a $15 an hour living wage for people who are working at Burger King or one of the other food services or hospitality, or service sectors in general, I guess, I can't even imagine those jobs increasing. I can't even imagine somebody working 30 years at McDonald's unless you're the owner or manager. But I guess it sounds good. Why would anybody want to be in a position to be stuck at that type of a job earning even $15 an hour? Beyond me. But some people can't possibly do more because they're not able to do more. I get that. But to make a blanket law that's going to cover 50 states to tell people that, no, you're going to have to pay somebody this amount of money has to cost jobs. And on top of that, all of these people are going to be passing that increase through to the consumer. Those consumers are going to balk at it. And many of the consumers are people who would be making $15 an hour. So that $15 an hour down the road will not buy as many products and services as it would today. So then, after you get the price increase, those people are going to scream that $15 an hour isn't enough. We need $20, $25 an hour as a living wage, or we can't live in the lifestyle that we've become accustomed to. So where does that upward spiral end as far as wages and costs? Seems to me that you're going to create an inflationary trend that's well beyond what the Fed intends. Because I don't think the Fed likes this idea because they see what the result of this will be. And it never ends well. But it's politics, folks. The other thing that bothers me is that why don't these people go back to school? There are a lot of training programs out there. A lot of county colleges are partnering with the private sector after they've determined what the private sector needs in terms of skilled laborers to take the tens of thousands of jobs that are available throughout this entire country that are not being filled by folks because they just don't have the 21st century skills necessary to do those jobs. So instead of just throwing $15 an hour at people to do these meaningless jobs that are going to keep them in a spiral of poverty or at least a low standard of living, why don't we invest those dollars into training programs so people get the skills necessary to take the jobs that are paying six figures? I think they would probably live better on that, don't you? Anyway, you're listening to Some Things About Money. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner from Patton Hiding Associates. And I think we're going to take a break, pay a couple of bills, and then we will be back.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Hunnenan. This is Big C coming to you from HunnenanChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunnenan County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunnenan kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunnenan County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Do you USA Radio News with Rod Williams-Dole.
Well, I would like to remind everyone that while we are watching the circus right now, we have not voted yet. Our votes have not been counted yet. We haven't voted, so Hillary Clinton is not our nominee at this point right now.
Well, they haven't voted yet, but this gentleman kind of thinks that Secretary Clinton is the nominee.
Hillary Clinton will make an outstanding president, and I am proud to stand with her tonight. Thank you all very much.
Once again, last night, the Democrats used Elizabeth Warren as their Trump card.
Trump thinks he can win votes by fanning the flames of fear and hatred, by turning neighbor against neighbor, by persuading you that the real problem in America is your fellow Americans.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
This is Tony Clark, and this is Some Things About Money. It's Tuesday, July 26th, 11:36 a.m. Now we'll have some time for the weather break again. It's 86 degrees in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunny. We'll have a high near 94 degrees today. West wind 7 to 11 miles per hour. Tonight mostly clear with a low around 66. North wind around 6 miles per hour. Becoming calmer after midnight. Wednesday sunny with a high near 92. Light and variable wind. And Wednesday night mostly clear with a low around 67. Thursday starts the showers. A chance of thunderstorms and showers. Thursday afternoon, however, mostly sunny with a high near 93. Calm wind becoming southwest around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. And Thursday evening, more chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy with a low around 71. And the weekend looks like more showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy with a high near 86 on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Chance of precipitation 50%. We'll go back to Joe Patton with Some Things About Money.
And we are back, and as Tony said, I am Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, Patton, Heidi & Associates. We are located at 1318 Route 31 North in beautiful Annandale, New Jersey. And if you'd like to talk to us about things that are important to you, primarily things like, how do I save enough money for retirement since the doctors are going to make me live for at least 30 years after I retire, barring any accidents or maybe greedy kids who want their inheritance prematurely, you're going to need more money. And how do you get that? Well, you need to really have an in-depth, thorough conversation about how you're going to live, what you want out of retirement, what you want to do after you're gone as far as leaving that legacy. And there's a lot to it, a lot more to it than most people realize. And I will grant that the majority of our clients and listeners are experts at what they already know. But it's the other 95% of it out there that they aren't aware of that will jump up and bite you. So if you really want to find out the things that you need to be doing to be successfully retired, I do suggest you give us a call at 908-713-6600. And it's, you know, there's no obligation to do anything. In fact, all we're going to do is talk with you. You get a chance to interview us. We interview you. And at the end of the conversation, we will both know whether or not this is something that would be of benefit to you. So again, give us a call and set up that meeting. You get to talk to Tony or Christina or Tracy. And come on in, talk to Michelle, talk to me. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, what is also fun is the 100 and Healthcare Signature Sponsor 2016 Golf Classic. And Hopefully you are ready to hit the links because the Chamber is actively preparing for the 2016 Golf Classic that will take place on Tuesday, September 27th at Hawk Point Golf Club in Washington. Now, the day is going to begin with breakfast at their beautiful clubhouse, with the tournament beginning at 10 a.m. It's going to be a shotgun start. And following the tournament, there will be networking, luncheon, awards ceremonies, and a good time had by all. And, of course, the winning foursome will be awarded the Hunterdon Cup. So if you'd like more information on the Golf Classic, contact the Chamber office at 908-782-117-1115. I always get that wrong. I want to eliminate the 7. Ever since Mickey Mantle retired, I've just blocked that number out of my mind. So let me give you the number again. It's 908-782-7115. The other date that you want to save is going to be November 10th. That is a Thursday. And that is the date for the Business and Home Expo and Restaurant Showcase, which will occur at Hunterdon Central Regional High School in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m., sponsored primarily by PNC. And it is a fun time. So I encourage folks from Hunterdon County and the surrounding area to come on in, meet some of the small business people who are here to serve you, pick up some tchotchkes. There's going to be food. It'll be a good time had by all. And if you are a small business and you are wondering whether or not it is something you should be doing, I highly recommend it. We've been attending the expo every year for as long back as I can remember, but there are some good reasons to be at the expo. You're going to make meaningful connections face-to-face with people that you know, you've been getting phone calls or emails from over the years and never bothered to follow up with. You want to do it because your competition is going to be there. You want to do it because your customers will be there. It's Hunterdon County's largest and longest-running trade show. Be in the company of the most established and successful businesses in Hunterdon County. It'll help retain your current customers while you'll be meeting potential new ones. It'll promote awareness and reinforce your value proposition for your business or organization. You'll learn about the latest innovations in technology for businesses and taste a wide variety of great food from all vendors across the county being in one place. But the biggest reason to be there, it's fun. So, we look forward to having you there on Thursday, November 10th, Hunterdon Central Regional High School in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. What isn't so much fun, Tony, is looking at the screen. Currently, the Dow is down, not quite as red as it was earlier, but it is still down 74 points to 18,419.06. The S&P 500 is down 3.9. The NASDAQ is down 1.21. Not, you know, we'll call the S&P and the NASDAQ fairly flat. Europe, well, you know, European stocks did close higher after earnings. The DAX ended up 0.5%. The FTSE was up 0.3%, and the CAC was up 0.13%. Good old oil still down 15 cents a barrel to $42.98. Gold prices are green, up 70 cents an ounce now. It was up a dollar previously. It's now at 13.20 an ounce. And the 10-year Treasury is at 1.5766. And, you know, that's with bonds gaining ahead of the $34 billion auction and the FOMC meeting. So people are kind of wondering what's going to happen next. But aren't they always wondering what's going to happen next? I know I am. Let's see. What else is going on? S&P 500, year-to-date leaders and laggards. People are always quoting the S&P and the different indices, but there's some interesting little tidbits here. The five heaviest weighted companies in the S&P 500. Do you know who they are? Apple, Microsoft, ExxonMobil, Johnson & Johnson, and General Electric. They've averaged a total return of 8.7% in this year through July 25th, 2016. Four of these five countries have been in the green. Now, together, these five companies compose Five companies out of 500 compose 10.7% of the S&P in terms of weighting, and they generated 0.78% of the S&P's total return through July 25th of this year. And looking at a ranking of the five highest contributions to the S&P 500 total return. Two of the heaviest weighted companies, ExxonMobil and Johnson & Johnson, offered the index the greatest contribution, then joined by AT&T, Verizon, and Facebook. And, of course, the five highest performing stocks averaged a 93.7% return, while the lowest performing five averaged a negative 40.8%. And that again, was through July 25th of this year. Of course, through July 25th, 359 of the S&P 500 stocks are positive for the year. So if you happen to own the five highest performing stocks, you did pretty good. I think you're happy. I know I would be happy. No reason not to be. But, you know, we talked a little bit earlier, although, you know, we are entering the thick of the second quarter earnings release season. The S&P 500 companies thus far have generally been able to clear low expectations. Some focus is already turning to what lies ahead in the third quarter report cards. As we've stated for some time, we believe future price gains in the S&P 500 will be built upon some degree of positive earnings growth. Returning to U.S. companies in aggregate, over the recent weeks and months, expectations appear to be declining for third quarter earnings growth, with expectations now calling for a year-over-year decline of 0.1%. As recently as March 31st, investors expected that third quarter earnings for S&P 500 companies would grow at a 3.3% year-over-year rate. According to FactSet, 8 of the 10 S&P industry sectors have lowered expected earnings growth rates compared to March 31st, and that's led lower by industrials. In our opinion, investors hoping to see some positive earnings growth in the third quarter still have reasons to remain positive. Over the last 4 years, on average, actual earnings reported by the S&P 500 companies have exceeded estimated earnings by 4%. That's quite a bit of a difference. From the end of the quarter through the end of earnings season, the earnings growth rate has typically increased 2.7% on average, meaning even now, slightly negative third quarter earnings growth being built into expectations, there is still the possibility that you know, we'll have positive earnings growth when the actual results are delivered. Now, we believe that would still be a positive development for markets and investors if history continues to hold true. We haven't really talked much about Asia. Equities across the region were mostly higher overnight. However, Japanese equities were lower by 1.4% as the yen rallied on concerns about policy disappointment ahead of the Bank of Japan's announcement. Additionally, and without citing sources, the Nikkei reported that the Japanese government plans to inject approximately 6 trillion yen in direct fiscal outlays into the economy over the next few years, doubling the amount initially planned. Don't you love stimulus? The article targeted a possible August 2nd announcement for said package. Separately, June services PPI in Japan rose about 0.2% year-over-year versus the one-tenth of a percent consensus. In Europe, being relatively green, that's a good thing. In dollar terms, companies with the MSCI Europe Index have seen reported earnings per share decline 11.1% in the second quarter, with roughly 21% of the company results already being reported. Earnings per share is tracking worse than the 6.6% decline expected at the end of March. Separately, the Bank of England's Wheel now believes monetary stimulus should be increased, more stimulus, after last week's weak PMI data in the UK. So everywhere we turn around the world, everybody's talking about more stimulus. After all, just see what it's done for the U.S. GDP over the last 8 years. What do we have? Not one quarter of 3% growth during that entire time. Makes you wonder how effective the stimulus actually is. Tony, I think we're going to have one more commercial break, and then we'll come back and wrap up with some Ameriprise view. In fact, views from our tactical views from our market committee. So this will be pretty cool. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters with Reichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business.
And we're back. This is Joe Patton. You're listening to Some Things About Money. Really appreciate you tuning in today because there is a lot of stuff out there. But for those of you who are wondering, what do I do from this point? Because the bull market is that long in the tooth, and there is all of this concern about what's going on in the European Union and what's going on with Russia and what's going on with China and the emerging markets and Japan. And if that isn't bad enough, we were talking about earnings and, you know, how is that going to affect the different sectors? How is it going to affect my income? How is it going to affect the growth potential that I need to have enough money to retire comfortably? Well, let's see. Now, after some first half challenges, we do see some reasons to remain cautiously optimistic. Brexit, well, although the UK's decision to leave the European Union initially really surprised global markets, the ultimate consequences for Europe as a whole, you know, will play it over the long term. You have to remember that Europe and, you know, Great Britain are fabulous trading partners. I mean, right now, their economies, manufacturing, service sectors are so integrated, it would be foolish for either side to do anything that would jeopardize the current economic relationships. And they're not that foolish. So even though there's a process to go through in order to make this work, I think in the end, everything's going to be fine. Risk? Well, you know, a number of large macro and economic uncertainties could continue to pose risk for asset prices. However, we see the potential for favorable trends to develop in the U.S. and, you know, headwinds to continue abroad. Interest rates, well, you know, we see lower year-end targets for the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield, but for now, you know, we're going to remain firm on our, you know, 2175 S&P target. Now, quite frankly, that doesn't leave a whole heck of a lot for upside, since you know the S&P rate as of now is currently sitting at 2166. So that means some choppiness from this point forward unless we get the type of earnings that would be necessary for the S&P to really, you know, move up from here. Our committee's tactical views on equities, though we believe equities can move modestly higher from the current levels over the next 6 to 12 months, it's going to be quality, balance, and stability, but they're going to be the themes we favor. You know, we're tactically underweight equities relative to our strategic targets and believe opportunities in U.S. pose a better risk-reward profile compared to foreign equities. U.S. equity sectors, well, our recommendations are generally balanced across the S&P industry sectors with preference for tech and telecom. Low volatility and yield have drawn particularly interest in defensive sectors this year, but could create risk if market dynamics change too abruptly. For the global regions, we continue to underweight commodity-exposed regions while viewing near-term opportunity in Europe and Japan as unfavorable at the moment. Again, we favor U.S. as a region on economically firmer footing relative to other developed regions. For fixed income, we remain defensive in fixed income, navigating our allocation closer to our benchmark and with a measured tactical preference for U.S. investment-grade corporates. As far as alternatives go, and they should be part of just about everybody's portfolio, alternatives could continue to add diversification while mitigating overall volatility. However, some categories insulate better than others, and you know, we're decidedly overweight in this asset class. So, you know, as far as the overall, I guess, you know, we're concerned like everybody else about what's going on internationally. We happen to be big believers in the U.S. markets. We think that interest rates overseas are, you know, probably about as low as they're going, so there's not a lot more upside potential in developed international bonds. There's still some in emerging market debt. We're a little bit concerned with corporates other than on the high yield side. The Federal Reserve could turn on a dime and raise interest rates, which would have a negative effect on fixed income. But dividends are continuing to move higher. So for people who are looking for income, that's a favorable area to look. We still think you're getting a nice yield out of real estate. There's still some potential there, as we talked at the beginning of the show, with interest rates continuing to be lower for longer. And that always bodes well for the real estate market. And if we continue to see improvement in jobs, not only will people have it easier to get mortgages and buy houses at a lower mortgage rate, but they'll have the income to pay that mortgage. So that's sort of the reasoning behind the areas that we like and why there's some concerns out there for other sectors that I won't necessarily say we don't like, but that we're cautious on. But how does this relate to you? That's why you have to sit down with a trusted, knowledgeable advisor who understands your situation, who works under a fiduciary standard to do what's in your best interest based upon their knowledge of your situation. Because the world is complicated, and the options out there are very diverse and also very complicated. And you need to know how they work and how they work for you. So again, give us a call at 908-713-6600. Take advantage of that consultation. Because, as they say, the world could be a very dangerous place, and if you're looking to put together your retirement program, as we all get older and the numbers become larger, can we really afford to make a mistake at that point? And a lot of people make mistakes because they just don't see the bad stuff coming. And as I said earlier, it's because of the things that we're not aware of that we end up failing. The things that we are aware of, we could become experts at. There's always more. And if you want to find out what that more is, let's sit down and have a conversation. You've been listening to Some Things About Money. Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, here with Tony Clark today. We want you to go out and enjoy this beautiful day. Go out and shop, buy Hunterdon, and remember, buy often. Have a great day.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Rod Williams-Dole.
Well, I would like to remind everyone that while we are watching this circus right now, we have not voted yet. Our votes have not been counted yet. We haven't voted, so Hillary Clinton is not our nominee at this point right now.
Well, they haven't voted yet, but this gentleman kind of thinks that Secretary Clinton is the nominee.
Hillary Clinton will make an outstanding president, and I am proud to stand with her tonight. Thank you all very much. Once again.